Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For the Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, the title of this psalm simply states that it's a psalm of David, and there isn't an occasion attached to it. When you look through the psalm, we don't see any historical references to things which God has done, and it makes it a little hard to place this psalm in the life of the history of the children of Israel, and particularly in David's life. But it seems to me that this psalm is one of a reflection of someone who's lived a long life and who has realized what God has done for him. Maybe it's the dying words of a man, or a man approaching death, or a man in that stage of the end of life, knowing that this is what God has done for me and for my people, and I want to record these words for those who come after me. It doesn't really matter when he wrote it. We're not told one way or the other, and it doesn't affect the outcome of the psalm. But I would encourage you to look at it as a thoughtful, retrospective look on life and the faithfulness of God. So in the first few verses of this psalm, in verses 1 through 5, we find David opening with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, David summons all of us, particularly himself, to bless God, and in particular to bless God's name. Well, it strikes me as an odd turn of phrase to bless God. And so I'd like to investigate for just a moment, what does it mean to bless God? What does it mean for us today? Did it mean something different for David, and should we still do it? So oftentimes when we see a blessing being conferred upon someone, it's of a superior to an inferior. We see Jacob and his sons in the blessing being given. We see Melchizedek and Abraham. You can get the idea of a king blessing his people, but this is not the way we look at this sort of blessing. For in no way are we superior to God. He is not an inferior to us. When David bids us to bless the Lord, or when we bless God's name, what we're doing is we're acknowledging what God has revealed to us, our understanding of who He is, what His character is like, and how that has been revealed to His people through His word, through providence, and we're reflecting that back to Him. We're mentioning the things that God has told us about Himself. So, when we bless God, when David says, all that's within me, when he looks to his innermost self to say, I should bless God in my whole soul, He's saying, I wish to acknowledge what God has done to me. Not acknowledge it to you or to someone else, but acknowledge it back to God. And saying, God, you have revealed yourself to be a loving and kind and gracious and almighty ruler. And this is what we're going to tell him. So, should we do this today? Absolutely. David's words were accurate and were helpful for him. They were helpful for the people that lived during that day. And they are helpful for us today as well. So we will bless God's name by singing this psalm and giving due attention to the hearing of God's word. So in the first few verses, we won't go through the entire list, but David wants to specifically mention what God has done. So he forgives all your iniquity. He heals your diseases, redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness. He satisfies you with good things. This is a very short list, but encompasses many different ideas. And we see that God is enormously good. David is pouring forth in his summary of what God has done for his life, a whole list of things which, when you think about it, ought to put us a little to shame. Because God is so good to his people. He forgives all of your iniquities. If David had simply said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgives all your iniquities, the psalm could have ended there, and it would have been a very good psalm. But it doesn't end there. In fact, if we were to put a title to this psalm, we would say, this psalm reveals everything but the kitchen sink. It's got everything in it. David, in a long list of things of what God has done for his people. It's very impressive. But the privilege of what he has done for us doesn't stop with merely the forgiveness of sins. David makes special mention that God has revealed himself to us as the one who is doing these things. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. As everyone who is a parent understands, there are many things that you do for your kids that they are wholly unaware. In fact, children live a life largely governed by ignorance, don't they? It's ignorance, and in fact, that is the act of parenting in many respects, is to bring them out of that stage of ignorance so that they can function in society. We'll see how well it works. But you get the idea that there are a lot of things that we are unaware of. We're unaware of many things, even within our own house, and it shouldn't surprise us that we are unaware of all the ways that God is good to us. And David specifically mentions that God not only does things for us, but he reveals what he is doing for us. Why? So that we might bless his name and understand his goodness for us. God does not want to be an anonymous donor of good things to his people. He wants us to know that it is he who has done all that has been accomplished. Well, I'd like to look for just a minute, starting in verse 11 through verse 14, and I want to paint a picture for you of something a little odd in this psalm, but something that I find quite helpful to hang my hat on. And that David breaks with his pattern of listing all the things God has done so that he might have time to paint a picture of two kinds of distances that are in these verses. So the first distance we find is that God is enthroned high above the earth. God is way up there in the heavens somewhere, and yet his mercy reaches down to us. There is mercy emanating from heaven. And why is this important? Why is it important to think of heaven as someplace great and far away? Well, in part, it helps us to combat the idea of municipal deities, of the local deities that other people had. You see, the Greeks had gods that lived on Mount Olympus, and they too communicated with the people. They might send down a lightning bolt. So their gods were tall. Their gods lived in high places. The people throughout the land of Canaan had gods who dwelled in the plains. They had gods who dwelt in the hills. They had gods of the sea. There were gods everywhere. But David makes it clear that Jehovah is in heaven. And he is high above the earth. And yet, that mercy extends all the way down to us. It doesn't get lost in communication all the way to us. It's not as if it's a great mercy that sort of fizzles out by the time it burns up in the atmosphere as it gets closer and closer to us. No, God's mercy starts out great in heaven and it reaches us way down here. But that's not the only distance he communicates. The other distance is that when it comes to the forgiveness of our sins, he wants us to think of a great road trip. A great road trip that spans all the way from east to west. You think, well, how are you ever going to get that far? That's the point. You can't get there. You can't get there from here. God removes our sin as far as east is from west. So we have two directions to think about in this psalm. One is that God is way above the earth. He's in heaven, but yet he knows who we are and he gives his mercy to us. And the other is that our sins are gone because they are as far as east is from west. In verses 15 through 19, David reflects that, you know, life's been kind of busy. And I realize now that life is short. It isn't a modern idea that we're overworked or overtaxed or that we're very busy. David was busy as well. But as we go about our lives, it can be very helpful to know that our time passes rather quickly here on earth. And that one day, we will simply die. And not only die, but I have sad news to bring to many of you. Most of you, perhaps all of us, will not only die, but will be forgotten. As the flower grows and the wind comes and blows it away and is remembered no more. Now, if you thought you were really something special, that the world would remember you forever, I don't see many Alexanders the Great among us. It isn't going to happen. But this doesn't mean your life is insignificant because the world fails to recognize you. The point of what David is saying is that even though we are insignificant, we are here and then we are gone, the mercy of the Lord continues from everlasting to everlasting. It endures forever. There is nothing that can separate us from death. In fact, if all we had was our life here and then we died, we would be a hopeless bunch, wouldn't we? But God, in his mercy, not only preserves our bodies while they decompose, but he preserves our soul so that one day those two will be united together. There is no end to the duration of the mercies of God being extended in our life. Death does not separate us from the mercies of God. Well, in verses 20 through 22, I wonder if David thinks, I've not said enough about who has to bless God. Because here, he bids the angels to bless God, the host of heaven. And if that weren't enough, he calls on all the works of providence under the rule of God to say, you be about the business of blessing the Lord. Now that's a high calling indeed. We've got a psalmist here in an out-of-the-way place, in the middle of a small little country that's barely a footnote in some respects. And here David takes it upon himself to say, I will bless the Lord. You will bless the Lord. Oh, and angels, I'm talking to you as well. You bless the Lord. The host of heaven, get busy. Bless the Lord. Oh, by the way, the sea, the stars, the animals, the whole work of creation. Under God's dominion, you too. Bless the Lord. You see, everyone's included in here. So in conclusion, how much more of an exhaustive list do you need? One commentator cited that Psalm 103 appears to be a Bible within the Bible. It has everything in it that you could possibly need. I would encourage you to think long and hard of this psalm over this month especially. If David can bid the angels, the hosts of heaven, and all the works of creation to do the Lord's bidding by blessing his name, I'm sure it is time for us to do so. And in particular, in verses 17 and 18, David reminds us that the covenant has been extended to the children's children. This psalm was written so that David could instruct his family, the children of Israel could instruct their sons, and so it has been passed down and preserved by the mercies of God from generation to generation until we get to today. Now what do we do? Well, as heads of household, I urge you to bless the Lord, to teach your children to bless the Lord. Probably wouldn't hurt to occasionally remind the angels to do what they need to be doing, and for the rest of creation to do what God has bidden them to do. In this way, we communicate the great truth that the mercies of the Lord continue from everlasting to everlasting. Let's pray.